Wednesday, December 24th. The first reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, 8 through 12, 14 and 16. When King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan answered the king, "Go, do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? It was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you. And I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that He will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." Haydock Commentary. Nathan was an admirable courtier and a great saint. David did not perhaps consult him as a prophet, and Nathan thought that the proposal was so just that it might be safely carried into effect. The prophets are not inspired in all their actions. For example, Joseph was of a different opinion from his father, in Genesis 48:19. And Samuel supposed that Eliab should have been king, 1 Samuel 16:6. And Elisha confesses that God had concealed from him the affliction of the woman with whom he lodged, 2 Kings 4:24. God afterwards sent the same Nathan to rectify his former decision, that he might not pass sentence in future without consulting him. "I will establish his kingdom." This prophecy partly relates to Solomon, but much more to Christ, who is called the Son of David in Scripture, and the builder of the true temple, which is the Church, his everlasting kingdom, which shall never fail nor be cast off for any iniquity of her children. The temporal kingdom was enjoyed by David's posterity for a long time, sufficient to verify the expression forever, as it is often used in Scripture. But the spiritual kingdom of the Messiah will last till the end of time and be perfected in eternity. In these predictions, we must always distinguish the type from the reality. The Gospel from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. Zechariah his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." Haydock Commentary. God, as he had declared by his prophets, will grant us salvation or save us. This is not to be understood of temporal, but of spiritual enemies. For the Lord Jesus, strong in battle, came to destroy all our enemies, and thus to deliver us from their snares and temptations. So says Origen. To remember his holy covenant, that is, his promise, or of the covenant made with Abraham, that he would bless all nations in his seed. At the coming of Christ, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were made partakers of his mercy. For we cannot suppose that they who saw his day and were glad should not participate in the fruit of his coming. Since St. Paul says, "He maketh peace through the blood of the cross, both to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven." God swore to Abraham that he would grant us, or make it come to pass, that being delivered from our enemies, sin and the devil, we should be in a condition to serve him without fear, in holiness. Holy and righteous in his sight. We see here that it is possible to have true justice, not only in the sight of man, but in God's sight, and the coming of Christ was to give men such justice. Jesus is our salvation, and St. John the Baptist was sent to give to the people the knowledge of this salvation. He bore testimony of Christ, by whom alone remission of sins can be obtained. The Dawn from on High, or the Orient. It is one of the titles of the Messiah, the true light of the world, and the Son of Justice. The Gentiles were in darkness, and given to the adoration of idols, till the light arose and dispelled the darkness, spreading on all sides the splendor of truth. With reason it is said in this place, "Who sit in darkness?" For we did not walk in darkness, but sat down, as if destitute of all hopes of being delivered. So says St. John Chrysostom. Then our steps are directed in the paths of peace, when in our every action we act conformably to the grace of the Almighty. So says St. Gregory.